after he talks about having the mind of Christ, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Has anybody ever heard that verse before? Yeah, you have. Boy, that one's been thrown out of context a whole lot. Let me give you an example. God, I can smoke cigarettes, but I know that you can't. God don't want you to, but I can, because, and that's okay, because I'm going to work. God, we're all working out our own salvation. You got yours and I got mine, and apparently they're different roads or whatever. What's sin for you may not be sin for me, because we're going to work out our own salvation. We like to use it to make us feel better about things, don't we? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I got a lot of problems with that right now. I won't when I get done, but there's a few things that I have thoughts about when I first read it. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings," "that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. I wondered why it didn't say work out your own salvation with joy and happiness. If I'm God, I'm going to tell you, you would think, as good as he is, and as, if it's all about joy and grace and mercy, you would think he said work out your own salvation with joy and happiness. But no, he says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Where does fear and trembling work into salvation? What is the relationship between my salvation and fear and trembling? I don't know. Maybe because my salvation, maybe because heaven is real, and maybe because hell is real too, and maybe because that's a serious thing. And if my salvation has everything to do with me in heaven or me in hell, then maybe we should work it out with fear and trembling. I know you can't really preach hell no more. I wonder how many times it's ever even preached anymore. Somebody preach on hell. You know, you can't do that. Or you don't know what grace is what they'd tell a preacher now. Right? You can't preach both hell and grace. Well, yeah, you can. You preach the whole counsel of God. You preach grace when you come to it. You preach grace, and we dig into what it means and what grace is and the power of grace. But we never turn our backs to truths and the nature and the matter of hell and heaven and those things. A lot of people saw grace revealed when they were made aware of a place called hell and through the preaching and teaching of hell. You understood grace when you realized that that's where you should be, right? Am I the only one that thinks that's where I should be? That's what I deserve. I don't know about you. You may deserve heaven from the get-go, not me. I understand grace because there's a place called hell, and that's what I deserve. I deserve that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I think salvation's a serious thing. I don't know about you, but the day I got saved, no, it wasn't joy and peace before then. I stood in the church where I was at. I would have been right back in that corner right there. And you know what? When the Holy Spirit began to work salvation in me, it didn't feel like joy and peace at all. It felt like fear and trembling. I sit back there with sweaty palms, knowing that I needed Jesus and that I was in big trouble and I wasn't as big as I thought I was. And I knew that it was serious and I knew that I needed the Lord. And I want to tell you something. Everything I come for that night, and I've told you before, I come for girls. That's what I thought about when I got there. But something come over me. I was terrified. There was fear and there was trembling. And salvation began to work out in me. But it started with fear and trembling. So it does have a relation there. There is relation. There is room for salvation and fear and trembling to coincide together. I'll talk more about it in a minute. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. I done made reference to where sometimes I've heard it taught that our salvation is tailor-made, that you've got your own path and I got my own path, and somewhere that nearly turns over and transforms into universalism, that we all got our own path to heaven, and that ain't true. That ain't true at all. And work out your own salvation don't mean that you can, this person can do this sin and this person can't, because it's our own salvation. I need to make that clear. I'm going to tell you what it does mean in a minute. But it don't mean that, okay? It don't mean that. Now, as you begin to go through sanctification, you will be made aware of things in you that is not Christ-like as you go. That never stops, amen? That don't ever stop. The more you begin to transform into Christ, the more you'll be made known there's things about you that is not Christ-like, things that needs to be severed and cut away from your life. And you'll find yourself repenting of some things that others ain't, because God is, because that's where you are in the sanctification process. But we're not talking about, we're talking about work out your own salvation. That don't mean that what's sin for you and not for me, this or that. And I'll tell you what else it don't mean. We need to make sure that we do not at all confuse work out your own salvation as this right here. If I'm going to be saved, I've got to work it out. Because if that's the case, then salvation is of works. You're not saved or not saved based on if you worked for it or worked it good enough. Now, I come out of a Pentecostal background where my and I'm not saying nothing negative about that, but where I was, because not everybody thinks the same in denomination, but where I was, my salvation had everything to do with my performance. If I acted right, I got it. If I didn't act right, I didn't get it. My salvation had everything to do with what I did and had very little to do with what Jesus did. It was all about what I did. And that was miserable and heavy and burdened. That is the thing that the Pharisees taught the people, in which Jesus comes by and says, no. Take my yoke upon you. It is light. It is not heavy like what the Pharisees. The Pharisees has written you out the oral law, and they made it to where if you don't do this, then you're not a child of Yahweh. And if you don't do this, then you are not of the blessing. And if you don't do this, then you don't inherit the promises. And that's what the Pharisees. And Jesus come against it. He says, no, that is a burden that you cannot bear. My burden, my yoke is different. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It don't mean that you've got to work it out. Let me remind you, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. The same Paul that wrote Philippians 2, 12 and 13 is the same Paul that wrote Ephesians chapter 2. And this is what he says. Let me remind you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, Paul just was so redundantly saying the same thing in those two verses. You know what he's saying? You don't work for it. You can't attain it. Your salvation ain't based on what you do, or then you could boast in your own salvation. Real salvation, there is no room for you to boast, because Jesus did it. It was a gift. By grace through faith. Now I get it. You got to put the faith in Him. But it's by grace. This is what He's teaching. So what is he contradicting himself, where in Ephesians he says that you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, not of yourselves, not of works. It is a gift of God. And then over here he says you need to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. So what is he saying? And that's what I want to answer tonight. And then I want to tell you what it looks like to work out your own salvation. Now, are y'all with me? Are you with me? Okay. This is so interesting to me. This is so awesome. Let me turn back. Keep your Bibles open. I'm about to ask you some questions, class. Verse 12. He says, work out your own salvation. Would you say that out? Say, work out. Say it again. Work out, work out. Work out your own salvation. Verse 13. For it is God which, what? Worketh. But what is verse 12? Work out your own salvation. But what is verse 13? For it is God that worketh. Somebody say work. Now, we're getting somewhere. Keter Gadzamahi is the Greek word for work out in verse 12. I'm not going to ask you to say that. Matter of fact, I'm not going to say it again. One time's all you get, because I don't know if I can say it the same twice. That is the Greek phrase for work out. It means to labor. It means to bring out. To work out. It means to bring out. Somebody say bring out. That word means to work out. Somebody say out. What's the opposite of out? Oh, is it? What's this? Verse 13. For it is God which, what? Worketh in. Now the in's the opposite of out. Now it's the opposite of in. Verse 12. You got to work out. Bring out. Your own salvation. Bring out. Work out. Out. Not in. Out. But verse 13, it is God that's working in. Now, let me tell you something different. If verse 12, he says the word work out, work, keter gadzamahi. Verse 13, he says, God which energeo. Now, your English, your King James Bible, I don't know what the other translations say. King James, you read it, and all you see is the word work, right? I see in verse 12, work. And I see in verse 13, work. But when you go to the Septuagint in the Greek, that those are not the same words at all. Let me say this. Energeo. Reckon what English word we get from energeo. Energy. We get the word energy from that Greek word. For a little while, back when coal was worth something, I worked at a strip pit. And we would go, this fella had inherited this land and found out that the land that was given to him possessed something great. But the problem is the value of what is great is only seen if what is in comes out, right? So the land had a lot of coal, but if we don't get it out, then the benefit of it, it don't. We can talk about how much it's worth. But until it comes out, it don't change. It did not change his lifestyle. I'm preaching right now. It did not change his lifestyle. He knew he had coal in the land. They told him what it was worth. But until they got it out of the land, it did not change his life. But the minute they got the coal out of the land, it changed his life. Do you see where I'm going with this? Verse 12 is work out. Work, totally different word than what is in verse 13. Your job is to bring out what God is doing in. God is first doing something in. That is the gift of God. What Paul is saying is you need to get out of you what God is doing inside of you. If it's going to change your life, if we're talking about let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus, then what's really got to happen is what Jesus is doing inside of you, in you, you've got to get it out. It's got to come to the surface. What good is it to be born again and made like Him and you live your whole life and nobody ever know it? What good is it to be born again and to possess the greatest treasure, which is the presence of God inside your reborn spirit, and it never make its way to the surface and change you? So this is what Paul is saying by work out your own salvation. Not if you work it out, you can go to heaven or whatever. That ain't what he's saying. He's saying that God is doing something in you. God is, if you've been saved, your salvation means God is in you doing something. And what Paul is telling them to do in his apostolic authority is you need to let it come to the surface. It needs to shine. It needs to get outside of you. You need to bring it out. You need to mine that treasure of God that is in you. You need to mine it. Rooster set out 300 tomato plants. Let's hypothetically say that Rooster says, Stetton, I'm going to give you that garden. Here's the deed. I got 300 tomato plants and they're ready. What if I just sit there? What color do they turn after red? They go from green to red to rot. I wonder how many believers do that to the treasure of Christ. They just let it sit there. God is doing so much on the inside, and you never bring it to the outside. And that's why you are never changed. This man, his life was not changed till he got the coal out. You bring out what God is doing in. I love that in verse 12. This is so good to me. This is helping me. In verse 12, labor. That big word I said is like sweat and labor, hard work. You know what has been so great about, one thing that's been great about this, I have worked the fool out of my boy. Not by y'all's terms, but by modern kids. He's worked. He's worked. He saved up some money. But, hey, he's got out there and worked. And he's did a fantastic job. I feel like so far I've taught him to work hard. Other than his mama, when she wants to go with us, he's the best worker I got. Now, that come at a price. Last year he didn't like me much because, I had to ride him and teach him what it looked like. But I'm so proud of him right now. He's worked. You labor, you work. I'm going to say this. I'll probably get in trouble. Sometimes I'll get an energy drink, one of them little sugar-free Red Bulls. It's kind of funny. It's funny to me because I can remember growing up and Dad was like, with me, like, wanting me to drink a beer with him. Well, me coming up and kind of hinting around. Well, he was kind of like wanting to drink some of that energy drink, you know. But am I the only one that's ever drunk one? You ever drink one? Sometimes, you got a lot to do. Maybe not energy drink. Maybe sometimes you just drink a lot of coffee because you got a lot to do and you need some energy. And so what you do is you get that energy inside of you because you're about to do some work. Verse 12 is the labor of working out salvation. Verse 12, Jesus is the energy in you that causes you to be able to do the work. He is the energy. That word energy, it's a different word from verse 13 to verse 12. God is in you doing something inside the believer. He is working. It is energetic. It is divine spiritual energy that is circulating and flowing through his presence inside of you. And what you're supposed to do with that is work it out. Work it out in your life, in living for the Lord, in serving, and in ministry, and in being like him. That's what you do with the energy of God inside of you. You work it out. That's what he's saying. You work it out. You work it out. And he gets specific. Listen to do you know how much God helps the believer? You need to understand how much God helps the believer. Watch this. For it is God which worketh energeo in you both to will, etheleo, desire. Will, desire. God's energy in you produces desires. Am I the only one that... Now, I've desired a lot of wrong things, and I'm sure you have too. But there's also, in my spirit, I desire a lot of good things. Has anybody ever desired to be touched by God? I'm talking about wrecked by His presence. God move on you and just totally come over you and change you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever hungered for that or just desired to hear from Him or to feel His closeness? Have you ever desired for Him to use you to help somebody or to stand and to honor Him and serve Him? You long and you desire these things. Have any of you ever desired to be a godly husband? That is the energy of God inside of you. This is what Paul says. For it is God, energeo, that is working in you to desire. I'm telling you this, God. When God gets in you and gets to working, He will change your desires. He starts kind of moving yours and putting His and moving yours and putting His. And He takes this one and He puts His. Has anybody ever experienced that somewhere along the line? I used to really like to do this, and now I don't so much like to do it. Now I'm starting to like to do things that He is honored and pleased by. Now my flesh is always over here longing for something that is not right. But Paul says, I feel a war in my members. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. And there's this war. And one side of me wants to do that which is wrong. But there's a powerful side in me that all it wants to do is everything that is right. That is God working in you. And He's this energy, this divine energy in His presence is producing desires. And you're to take that and work it out. Work out salvation. Bring out salvation. Bring out what He's doing on the inside. Bring it out into the way you walk, into the way you talk, into the choices you make, into the things you do. This is what Paul is saying. So He is energeo, working in you both to will and to do. Oh my God. How much does He help you? He's giving you energy to want it, and He's giving you energy to do it. Actually, that word do is also energeo. So His energy is producing your energy to operate and to perform. But it all starts with what He's doing inside of you. I understand this is deep. But if we're going to understand what it's really meaning, we got to go there. And this is Wednesday night. You're the group, okay? This is the time to go there. And Paul is wanting them to recognize. You need to learn to identify the energies inside of you. You need to identify that this is God. When I long to want something that is right and good, that is actually God in you. He's that energy, that working in you. He's doing that in you. He is. And you need to recognize that is His presence, and you need to act upon it and carry it out, bring it out. That's what He's saying. Because if we are born again and Spirit dwelled inside of us and we've been made new and we're believers and God is in us working, then somewhere it's got to come to the surface. And so that is exactly what Paul does in the next few comments right here. He shows you what it looks like when it comes out. Let me walk you through it real quick. Miss Jada, I know we got to work tomorrow. Real quick. Let me give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me give you six. Look at verse 12a. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. One way, God working in you, and you bringing it out. One thing that it's going to bring in your life is consistency. You hear me? Consistency. Am I the only one that's ever struggled with consistency in my faith? I'm learning this, that if I will yield to and bring out what God is trying to do in me, it brings greater consistency. Paul says this for the second time already in Philippians. I want you to obey the Lord like nobody's looking. That's what he's saying. Am I the only one that was better at obeying the Lord when people's looking? Huh? Maybe I'll get like you. I know what it's like to do a little better when people's watching. I see it all the time. Get around somebody and they get to talking like this. Hey, he's a preacher. Yeah, he's a preacher. Rest of the day, they don't talk like that no more. I'm like, nah, man, be yourself. Pull up and hide the beer. I see it all the time. I'm like, no, man, just be yourself. You know, don't do nothing for me. Who cares about Stanton? You know, don't just cause my I showed up. Don't, you do what you do between you and the Lord, not me. And a lot of times, he's saying, go back to verse 27 in chapter 1. I told you, this is the second time he said it. Apparently, this church had a problem at times with integrity, spiritual integrity. Being a Christian when nobody's watching as opposed to when people are watching. Look at verse 20. Only let your conversation as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So in other words, let me put it like this. This God working in you and you bringing it out like you're mining for coal, what that does is it makes you real. You ever heard somebody say, now, he's real. He's real. What does it mean when somebody's real? It ain't show. It ain't fake. It ain't put on. It's who they are. They're real. They're real about it. I learned early in my ministry, sometimes I got better if I'd just be real. If I'm not always going to be great, then just be real with them and let them see who I really am. You know what? I may get up here on Sundays, but I'm not perfect, and I'm not. You know what? I'm a lot like you, and you're a lot like me, and you know what? I just ain't gonna try to be something I'm not, and I'm just gonna be myself. You know. But that consistency is there, because your motive is not of the people; it's Him, because you're aware of Him working in you, and that's what you're trying to bring out. I'm not trying to perform on the outside what I see on the outside, which is you. I'm trying to perform on the outside what I see on the inside, which is Him. Did you get that? Too many times, church folk, we try to perform on the outside what we see on the outside. If I see holiness on the outside, I'm going to perform holiness on the outside. If I see some carnality on the outside, I might show a little carnality on the outside. But when you are aware of this God working in you, then you ain't really moved and altered by what you see on the outside. You're looking at what's working on the inside, and that's what you bring on the outside. That's what working out your own salvation means. So it brings consistency. Number 2 out of 6, fear and trembling. It looks like fear and trembling. When you are looking at God working on the inside and you're working it out on the outside, he says you do this in fear and trembling. And I can show you in the Greek, fear and trembling, it means about what it says. But what he's saying is if you're going to do this, if you're going to bring out what God is doing on the inside, it's going to come with deep reverence and honor and deep respect for who God is and what He's doing, which is something I feel like is slipping in the culture of church. I think I said that the other day. You remember me? If you listen to me talking about when I went to church, the kind of mama I had, it was serious. When God moved, it was serious. I told a story of I can remember, I learned real quick. One time I was sitting there and somebody stood up and began to speak in a tongue and the whole church went silent except me. And my mama pinched me on the back of the arm. I've got whippings when I got home from church. Has anybody ever got a whipping when you got home? Because of what you did in church? Oh, man, I can remember being, Mama, let me go sit on the back with the kids, please. I'll be good. She said, you better not talk. You better listen. And I'd talk her into it, and I'd get over there, and I'd get tickled. They'd make me laugh, and then I'd look over, and I'd see those eyes piercing across the building. And you know what she was saying with those eyes? Yeah, she was saying, this is serious. If you don't take serious what God is doing on the inside, it'll never come on the outside. When you can lackadaisically, jokingly, smilingly approach what God is doing on the inside, then it'll never come on the outside. But when you see God working on the inside and it brings a fear and a trembling and a deep reverence, then it will come on the outside. This is good truth. This is good truth. We need it. Number 3. We're nearly done. Just hang with me. Ain't it interesting how God will get so deep with you spiritually when you read the Bible, and then he'll jump out to something real simple, pragmatic, and just real practical application, and then you're guilty. So it goes from something deep to verse 14, do all things without griping and grumbling, without drama and discord and division. Do you know what it looks like when what God is doing on the inside and it makes its way to the outside? It don't look like you're a griper and a grumbler. Negative Nancy, always making the negative, dark remarks about everything in life. Would rather find something wrong with somebody than something right with somebody. Always caught up in your own drama and finding yourself in somebody else's drama. And when you ain't in your own or listening or in theirs, you're listening to everybody else's. You're just always drawn like a magnet to division and discord, and you always got something negative to say and some negative downlook on it. Do you ever been that person? You ever been around that person? Don't you know that they go to church on Sundays? And some of them are born again. They got God working on the inside. But the reason why they are the way they are is because he's working on the inside. But they will never bring that work on the inside to the outside. So they remain on the outside who they've always been. They got a field worth $1 million of minerals and coal. And they talk about it, yet it never changes their life because they never bring it out. So every now and then, he will check you. And he'll be like, that's me, ain't it, God? And when you realize that's me, ain't it, it means that you're not letting what's on the inside come out. Number four. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. He has just laid out a stark contrast. Being blameless, harmless, just, purity, holiness, good, versus a crooked and perverse generation. Paul just says it. You're living in a wicked, perverse, crooked, twisted, nasty world. Nasty, perverse culture, way of thinking. Ain't that where we are? Am I the only one? Ain't that where we are? You know what Paul says? When the God that's working in you makes his way on the outside, you don't look nothing like them. You look good. You look good. You look like a good person. You look like a child of God. You might get accused of being a child of God. That's what he says. You'll be known in a dark world as a child of God when you let what's on the inside come on the outside. Point number five is really just defining what I just said. Verse 15, you'll shine as lights in the world. You will shine as lights in the world. The believer will be a light that shines in a dark world. The church will be like a light that shines in a dark world. Hide it under a bushel. No way. I'm going to let it shine. So I went, Sister Imogene, when I was little, had me come up and teach me how I'm going to be a light in this world. She's speaking into me at a young age that you will be a child of God. And I didn't know. I thought she was teaching me a cute song. That's all I knew. I'm going to sing a little nursery rhyme on Wednesday. And I know she was imparting into me, son, you will be a child of God, a light in a dark world. And you will have the power to cover your own light, or you can shine bright in this dark world. That's what she was doing. And that's what Paul is doing to the church. You'll shine bright. when the God that's working in you, when you bring it out, when you work it out, you will shine bright. I got to tell this story because there's some new people here. I know we got to go. I'm trying to think of Percy Ray. I read a book by Percy Ray, and they only made so many copies, and he lived right over here outside of Memphis a long time ago. I'm just remembering bits and pieces of this book, but this is his journal. And he's a revivalist. I mean, he's long gone now, but he was a revivalist, and I'm trying to think of the place he lived, right outside of Memphis. But anyway, he tells this story. In between meetings, he went fishing. He walked way down into the woods, down to this creek. He said he wasn't much of a fisherman, but he didn't know his way around real good, but he knew of that creek, so he went fishing, and he said he got down there. He actually had an appointment, a place to preach that night, and he goes down there, and he goes to fishing, and he tells the story. He said, I began to catch fish. Man, I was catching fish. He said, that is unlike me. He said, I was catching them. He said, and I lost track of time. Catching the fish. They were biting, and it started getting dark on me. And he said, it got dark, and I said, I got to get out of here. And I began to go, and it got dark on me. And he said, I got turned around in the woods. And I got frustrated with the Lord. God, I got to be somewhere. God, don't you know I got to be somewhere? He said, I just went from, God, you've blessed me so much down here fishing, to now, God, you've abandoned me in the woods. He said, I'm lost in the woods, and I'm trying to get out of here. I got somewhere to be, God, don't you know? I mean, I'm doing this for you, God. I'm preaching for you. You got to get me out of here. And he was just letting God have it. And he sees a light through the woods. Thank the Lord. And he starts going. A little while later, up a hill, up a holler, and he sees the light go out. It was back then, lights out was earlier than now, and you went to bed. Well, when the light went out, he got lost again. And then he got turned around, and he went somewhere else, and he saw another light, and he said, thank you, Lord, I'm making it out. And he starts going, and the light goes out, and he got turned around again. And he let God have it, and when he got done letting God have it, God turned around and let him have it. He said, you just like them. He said, you don't know how many people is lost in the darkness of this world. And they're fighting their way out of the darkness. And they see your light. And you let it go out. And when we don't work out what God is doing in us, we let our light go dim. We put the bushel over it. Are you with me? Last point, what it looks like when God working in you comes out. Verse 16, holding forth or holding fast the word of life. The word of life. And I'll stop there. Holding fast, holding firm to the word of life. How many of you know that God's word is life? It is life. God's word brings life. It is nothingness, and God speaks a word, and there is life out of nothingness, Genesis 1. Paul says that all the Scripture is inspired. The Greek word means God breathed. It's words. The Scripture is words that come through the breath of God. God, He molds man. He molds man. Man was nothing but clay and dirt. You remember? He reaches down and he molds. He molds Adam. And he leans in to his mouth. And he has the life of God. His words, that is what his words are. I pray I never lose sight when I come up here and I begin to walk through that his words is what it was when he reached down and molded man out of clay and put him up to his mouth and his words are alive. He says you hold fast to it. When the God that is working desires and energizing you spiritually, when you begin to bring it out of you in your life, One thing it will look like is you will hold fast to His Word. What does hold fast to it mean? It means you will value it. Amen? You will value it. I don't think you can hold fast. Anything that you cling to, everything in life that you cling to, means it has value. You'll value His Word. You'll value His Word. Do you understand there's some churches that don't even value His Word? Some churches don't even get up and teach it. They teach cute things and things you like to hear that many sometimes ain't even got nothing to do with His Word. You value His Word. You value His Word. You listen to it. You believe it. You obey it. You declare it and you share it. That's what it looks like when you let it come out. You hold on to it because you value it. You believe it. You obey it. You declare it and you share it. And that is what it means to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not the other things that we have assumed at times.